Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Circuits of Time, a home for the best in 80s movies. Grab your root beers and let's get rockin'.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of our Circuits of Time podcast. I'm your host JD.
And I'm your host Jaff Dog.
How are you, Jaff Dog?
I'm very well, JD, thanks. Yeah, I really enjoyed our last podcast. Been looking forward to doing the next one. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. And I know it's been a little bit of a gap, but I know we explained on the last episode the something going on in current affairs is unfortunately causing a few headaches, but we'll get through it. We've got another episode coming your way. Just before we talk about this episode, the film of this episode, I think it would be wise of us, J-Dog, to talk about something that was released this week, to mine and your delight. It was a new trailer, of course, for Bill and Ted 3. Did you happen to see the trailer? And if so, what were your thoughts?
Did happen to see the trailer, JD, and I thought, absolutely cannot wait for it.
It has the potential to be a disaster, as all sequels made long after the originals do. But it seemed to hit a tone, didn't it, that was very much in keeping with what we'd seen in 1989.
That's right, yeah. I mean, there's a few hints in the trailer there as to what's going to happen. They do see the future selves and they're all bloated and muscle-bound and things like that.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
I thought the makeup and the outfits reminded me of the two blob things, Station.
I was going to say, it was more, I would say, in keeping with Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, that scene, wasn't it?
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, no, listen, I know we've already had a Bill and Ted's episode, but no, I just thought that they throw it out there. It was released this week, so...
And, of course, both of us put a video in for the credits. Hopefully
we did. We did. I mean, mine is the worst thing of all time, but at least I can say I've auditioned for Bill and Ted. That's good enough for me. But without further ado, let's discuss this latest episode.
Take out the papers and the trash, or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrap that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yakety yak. Don't talk back. Da 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 da.
And if you didn't guess it from that sound clip, J-Dog, what's the film we're going to be discussing?
It is Twins.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you seen Twins?
I've seen Twins a couple of dozen times. I remember seeing it once when I was very young. I remember seeing it around about the same time as Junior came out, actually. Because that was
probably... That's quite late, really.
Well, that was... Yeah, I mean, I remember it because that was... That was when Junior was out in the pictures, on video, almost said DVD then. I remember it being out around about that time, and I remember seeing Twins at the same time too.
And obviously you thought Twins was superior than Junior.
I would say that without a shadow of a doubt. what about you, JD?
I'd seen it an awful lot from when it was first released, really. I can't remember the first time I saw it. But what I can tell you, and spoiler alert, because I'm going to give it lots of glowing endorsements, and I don't even think I've ever told you this, but Twins is actually my favourite Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
Hold on, your favourite Arnold Schwarzenegger film, hands down?
Hands down, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One is the nostalgia. I'd just seen it an awful lot, and I was a nice young age. It's just a great feel-good film. And obviously, as we discuss the film during the course of this episode, you'll come to know some of the other reasons why, primarily because it's just bloody good fun.
Well, I must say, JD, it's only occurred to me that this is actually, and I know we're only on episode 6, but it is our first Arnold Schwarzenegger film. And as you know, I'm a massive fan of Arnold, have been for as long as I can remember. I cannot say, and I'll say it at the outset, I cannot say that this is my favourite Arnold Schwarzenegger film. There are just too many in his oeuvre, in his canon.
And look, listen, I have no problem with you not putting Twins at the top of your Arnold list, because let's be honest, the guy's catalogue in the 80s alone is just, I mean, it was blockbuster after blockbuster. And you know, I mean, I don't know who's the biggest Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, but I'm a pretty big Arnie fan too. But without further ado, why don't you tell us some things about the movie?
Some brief facts.
Well, a few facts about the film. It was directed by Ivan Reitman, whose name, of course, is legendary for another film from the 80s.
Yeah, Ghostbusters.
Of course, Ghostbusters. It was made in 1988. So Arnold Schwarzenegger's career was probably near enough for its peak. Could I say peak?
Did he peak
in the early 90s?
No, I think Twins, because did you see 88?
It was 88.
Well, 87 was the year he did Predator, and he'd also did The Running Man, and you know, they are cult Arnie films, so he'd already done the Conan films. He was at the peak of his powers. I think Terminator 2, Kath, was really the stamp, wasn't it, of Arnie at his very, very, the top of the mountain. But prior to that, those 4 or 5 years were Arnie at his best.
Yeah, I'd really love to do an episode on The Running Man, because that film is full of just so much trivia. It is absolutely one of the most unbelievable films when it comes to trivia. Like the fact that it was directed by the fella who played Starsky and Starsky and Hutch, for example. So yes, Ivan Reitman was the director. Stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito and Kelly Preston. It was made on quite a low budget. The deal to get these actors in the film was made in a restaurant on the back of a napkin, apparently.
Wow.
It went on to make a lot of money.
It's funny, whenever you look, research these films, especially from that time frame, there was a lot of that where it was just kind of over lunch. You know, it was just kind of a verbal agreement. Someone doodles it down, and before you know it, they've got a script ready within 2 weeks. They're getting in production in 3 months, and before you know it, you've got a hit.
Yeah, well, this kind of film became quite familiar in the 80s, or popular. It's called a high-concept movie, where you can describe the plot in a sentence. So the sentence is obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito are twins. And you don't even need to embellish on that, because you know the concept's there. It's written between each word of that sentence, isn't it? You know there's going to be all sorts of hijinks just based on the physical differences between these two. But it can be done badly as well, JD. There was a film with the guy who presented the Oscars a lot in the 80s and 90s, Billy Crystal. He was in a film with a giant, like he was a huge basketball player, absolutely massive guy. And obviously they've come up with the concept of them two in a film and just thought that it would be a hit, and it wasn't, apparently. I struggle to remember the name of the film. But you can see how the concept can be lost if it's not done right. There's a certain love about this film.
Oh, yeah. And I think I've actually read that Danny DeVito himself was told on the phone about this concept, and that the guy that he was supposed to be playing opposite as his twin was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I think his response was the Austrian bodybuilder. So straight away, he knew, he just said straight away, that's all I needed to hear. And I was signed on. So as you've just said, the concept alone didn't guarantee it to be a hit, but it kind of gave it enough of the raw materials to make a good film.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger also said that this was one of his funnest films. He said it was one of the best decisions he ever made. But Arnold being Arnold, it probably wasn't just about the fun. When he was talking about the best decision he ever made, it could have been something to do with the deal that he made on the film. Rather than take a salary, he took a reduced salary, and he actually took a percentage of the total, which ended up, because it was a hit, to be absolutely huge, something like $30 million.
Anything else you need to say about the film?
No, I think we should just move on to our next section, JD.
That's fine. I just wanted to say as well, because we just mentioned that Twins obviously was released in 88. And it's quite a flip, isn't it, for Arnie? Because this is the guy who, for the best part of the last 15 years or whenever he did, what was it, Hercules in New York? For 15 years, he's been the action guy. And I know, I think in his very, very early roles, there was a bit of some comedy. But let's be honest, Arnold Schwarzenegger before Twins was the action guy.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, JD. I did want to mention Hercules in New York, probably the most unintentional comedy out there. 1969, I think that one was made. He was very, very young at the time, obviously in peak physical condition for it too. But I think that was probably meant to be more serious. But when you get to the bit where he fights the man in the bear suit in Central Park, I think it gets a little bit outlandish there, to say the least. But yeah, you're absolutely right in that it probably set a precedent in terms of an action star crossing over into a different genre. Now, how many times has that happened now? It just seems like the natural career path now. But for Arnold Schwarzenegger...
Look at Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He seems to do it every other film now.
He's the one who comes to mind. What happened to him when he left the WWE, WWF, straight into the comedy movies, you know, take that persona into the comedies. But then you've got a lot of action stars who flipped what they did beforehand and went into the comic element of it. And I do think a lot of that can be traced back to Arnold Schwarzenegger in Twins.
Good and he does it well.
Yeah.
You can say what you like about Arnie. He's, you know, we all know that when you put like some sort of semi-automatic or big, massive gun in his hand and he's got the pumped muscles, he looks the part. He doesn't need to act great, but if you watch him as something like Twins, his range is pretty good.
It is. You know, he had the reputation for being sort of monotone in a way, coming back to the Terminator. But the guy went from the Terminator 4 years earlier to this, and obviously everything he'd done in between. In 4 years, you know, he'd cemented himself as a legend, you know. Certainly in my eyes growing up. But
it wasn't just Twins.
And pardon?
It wasn't just Twins, was it? Of course, because a few years later he went on to do Kindergarten Cop. So you can always say, oh, maybe it was just the product of a good script. But as I say, I think it was 91 he did Kindergarten Cop, which is another favourite of ours. It's a shame it's not 80s. Maybe we should do a 90s podcast just to discuss that.
Well, there is there's a law of diminishing returns. So you've got three films: Twins, Kindergarten Cop, and Junior, all directed by Ivan Reitman, all starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, two of them, Twins and Junior, starring both Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. I really like Kindergarten Cop. There's something about it. One of the things in all three films, but in these two films especially, and hopefully we can talk about it a bit more later, there's a slight jarring between the comedy element and the gangster, dark, people getting killed elements of things. And I don't think, on reflection, it straddles the boundary quite well enough, if you understand where I'm coming from. There's a bit of a divide between the two. That's just my opinion. People might like that. But I notice about that, particularly Twins and Kindergarten Cop, you can really, there's something off about the mix of the comedy and the gangsterism.
There's about 5% of Twins, which is a bit hardcore. And
it stands out, obviously. That's the thing. It stands out amidst the genuinely warm relationships between the characters.
That's right. And not just Kindergarten Cop and, of course, Junior, but he went on to do, obviously, Jingle All the Way and a favourite of yours, Batman and Robin. So Arnold's got a bit of a repertoire for doing the lighter roles, and he's good at it. Yeah, however bad Batman and Robin. But as bad as the film was, can you really begrudge Arnold, the actor, in that?
I mean,
you can only
His name was top billing above George Clooney.
Anyway, let's go on to the story of Twins.
Movie synopsis.
So tell us a little bit about the film, the plot itself.
Okay, so I know I've just sort of strayed into the idea of the gangsterism and whatnot, but the broad plot is Arnold Schwarzenegger lives and has been brought up on a remote island out in the Pacific Ocean by a scientist. He's always known that he was the product of a science investigation. In fact, the film was originally going to be called The Experiment, but they changed the name to Twins because with the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger was Austrian-born, the idea of having a film called The Experiment could have been, you know, there could have been some connotations there, should we say, certain events that happened between the global conflict of 1939 to 1945. But anyway,
it's a fickle world.
He's grown up, He's a peak specimen of humanity. You know, his physical condition's fantastic. He's can speak 12 languages. He knows medicine. He knows all sorts of things. And then he finds out in his 30s that he's actually got a twin, because when he was being made as part of this genetic experiment, it turns out that he had the twin. And that twin got all of the negative aspects and traits, and he got all of the positive ones. And he didn't know that until this point. And because he was the product of a scientific experiment, the scientists were quite cold and put him off in an orphanage, Danny DeVito's character. So Arnold Schwarzenegger goes to find Danny DeVito's character with the intention then of going to find their mother, their birth mother, who neither of them have seen before. Now, in with the plot becomes a slightly convoluted tale of a piece of technology that is in a car that Danny DeVito steals, and they get mixed up with bad guys.
Would we say steals? Does he just happen to find out that it's in the trunk, or decides not to give it back?
It's not that he steals the piece of equipment. He steals the car because Danny DeVito's character is, at first, he's a lowlife. He's, you know, running around, cheating on his girlfriend, treats her terribly. He thieves, lies, stuff, you know. He's a ducker, and he ducks and dives.
He's the opposite of Arnie in every way.
He's the opposite of Arnie, yeah.
And, the contraband in the car is the point at which the film changes direction slightly. Not massively, but that's the point. I mean, we are aware that you've got this assassin who's on the lookout, and you're not wholly sure what's going on until you find out that Danny DeVito, who's driving this stolen car, plays a cassette, a tape, and finds out that there's contraband in the boot. So then we find out it's worth $5 million. So obviously, Vincent, that was. I know, it's a good idea. But that's the turning point, and you know, I think that the part in the film where it takes a little bit of a turn, but not for the worse, because typical of the films in that time, it could have led to one of those final thirds where it was dark, explosions, car chases, you name it. But Twins seems to remain a soft touch. It's still quite a subtle ending, even though you've got this subplot of the assassin and the contraband, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they really pull it back at the end, don't they, with a cheesy ending. And
the crisis situation.
And, you know, then we see that they've had kids and they've both got sets of twins and their wives are there. And yeah. Oh, and the scientist is there. He's taking the photographs.
One big reunion. What about Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger as together in the film, their partnership? They've got great chemistry, haven't they?
Oh, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. Coming back to the earlier example of Billy Crystal with a large man, you can't just play off the fact that one's big, one's shorter than the other. You know, there has to be a chemistry between the two characters, and there truly is in this film. There are some parts where you think it feels natural, like they're making stuff up on the spot, and maybe they are, maybe they're improvising in some parts. Some of the things they say, and I struggle to recall certain scenes now, but there are just certain looks and things that are said, and it's almost like they were making it up, and it just works. You know, you can see why the pair of them both loved working on the film and each other, and then went on to make that other film later on.
And from what I'm led to believe, they're still pretty close today. I think they're still friends following this film, but they've got great timing. They work well together, and just right from the off, as soon as they meet and they've got that exchange through the glass window in the prison, it's just the timing of the comedy's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, even from the start when Arnold's on one side of the glass and he's saying all these things like, I'm your brother, you don't realise how long I've been waiting for all of this. And then he's just looking on the glass, knocking, saying,
he's trying to
pick up the phone. Because he's so naive, isn't he? Arnold's got this wide-eyed naivety about him. And we see that when he first goes to Los Angeles and he's walking around and he's looking at stuff and he's tasting all these foods that he's never had before. He's drinking a Coke, which he's probably never had before. Funny enough, he actually bumps into Danny DeVito on outside the theatre. They both turn around and look and scratch their legs in the exact same way.
But that's the first point in the film when you realise that, yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger is this product of super sperm, if you like. And he's got the brains and all the rest of it and the brawn. But not being able to pick up a phone, something that me and you or any other average schmuck would know would be a normal thing. That's the first clue that you get that he actually needs Danny DeVito. Because obviously Danny DeVito is the weak link. He's always been reliant on others. He's a bit of a thug. And little does he know that he needs someone like Julius in his life, just as Julius needs someone like Vincent. And that's kind of the premise of the film, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point there, actually, JD. I never really thought about it on that level of depth. There's the idea that when they were made, it's almost like a part of Julius was taken away and a part of Vincent was taken away. And they complement each other, don't they?
Well, Julius says the line, something along the lines of, I'm the missing part of your life and you're the missing part of mine. So that's the point when it's come full circle. So
it's sincere, that as well. It doesn't come across as corny. You genuinely feel a relationship building between these two characters.
Oh, you're totally invested in it. You really want them. At the beginning, when Vincent drives off after just being bailed out by Julius, you're genuinely heartbroken. You're gutted that he's made that decision. Obviously, about 10, 15 minutes later into the film, the same scenario arises. Julius is standing out beside the car and obviously he doesn't think that Vincent's going to let him in. And there's a turning point. Vincent realises, actually, this guy, I need him in my life. He's helping me out.
Yeah.
It's a simple film, but it's a fun film, isn't it?
There's a bit at the end as well when Vincent, Danny DeVito's character, is walking away with the money and he's trying to justify it to himself that he's got to walk away. But then he finds himself turning around and walking back to rescue Arnold, who's in some sort of danger. And by that time in the film, you know, you actually feel this, you know, oh yeah, yeah, you would do that because he's his relative and he loves him. I know he's only met him 5 minutes ago, you know, but he's developed this bond with him. And like you would for your own family member, you'd go back into danger in the firing line for them, even though it's totally irrational, because what else can you do? You couldn't live with yourself if you didn't.
And not just that, after it all finishes and they've still got the $5 million, Vincent Benedict still wants to keep the money. and that's the point where Julius is like, no, we're going to give it back or whatever. But of course, they end up, did they invest it into this new business that they have at the end of the film? Or is that just from a reward? I don't know.
They've got a business at the end. I'd imagine that they probably gave some of the money to the institute that their birth mother runs as well. Because she's still alive, isn't she?
She is.
When they meet her, she convinces them that their mother's died, when in actual fact she is their mother.
Because she's told, obviously, that the children or the child has died as well.
That's right.
And of course, played by a young Heather Graham at the start of the film.
I thought I recognised her. I was looking at it and I remember watching years ago thinking, who is that? And then when I watched it recently, I was thinking, oh yeah, now I know who it was. From Austin Powers.
That's the one. And License to Drive and The Hangover, you know it. Anyway, moving on, let's talk about some of the things with twins that you may not have already known.
Did you know?
Okay, JD. So, coming back on what I'd said earlier about Arnold taking a percentage of the profits as opposed to taking a full salary, did you know how much he actually made from that film?
I don't know how it works now. I don't know how it worked in the 80s, but I assume there must have been a rate at which you paid Arnold Schwarzenegger to be in your film. And of course, who was the studio that was behind Twins? Was it? Do you remember who it was?
It's Universal, isn't it?
Was it Universal?
Yeah.
Well, let's say, for example, they didn't have the money to give Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito and Ivan Reitman the money. I do know from what I read before, we obviously had this conversation, that it was agreed that the three of them would take a cut of the gross profit. And I think Arnold worked out to about 20%. And I think it equated to about $35 million or something around that figure, which is astounding, really. And in light of that, of course, I don't think the studio ever allowed that to happen again, or at least Universal didn't. So I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't know that, JD. That is an interesting tidbit.
Now, I don't know, obviously, how much Danny DeVito got or Ivan Reitman, but who knows? But either way, I think you hit the nail on the head at the start when you said that Schwarzenegger said that this was his best decision he ever made, which is quite unbelievable when you think of what he has done over the last 20, 30, 40 years. Or however it's been.
Yeah, but I think if you compared Twins to his output of the past 10 to 15 years, anything he has been in, Twins is like the Mona Lisa compared to stick drawing, isn't it? Okay, did you know that this film has an actor in it who also plays a character in Total Recall? And it's the bad guy in Twins, the hitman, Webster his name is. He plays Quatto in Total Recall. Wow. Another Arnold Schwarzenegger film. You know the guy with a... he's got an alien in his chest.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same guy. But that's an interesting enough fact on its own that it's got the same character, the same actor in both of those films, both of those Arnold Schwarzenegger films. But in both films, there actually happens to be a silver suitcase. and I believe it's the same silver suitcase, possibly. In Twins, it's got millions of dollars in. In Total Recall, it's got gadgets in that Arnold uses to escape the bad guys. That other thing that he sticks up his nose, you know, when he pulls the bug out of his nose. I believe it's the same suitcase.
The same one. So props were scarce in those days.
Exactly. Maybe both were made by Universal.
I've got one for you, and I only found this out just prior to the call, and I was astounded, number one, at the fact, but also astounded that I'd never knew of it before. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito were actually offered two projects. One of them was Twins. The other was a film, you probably recall, Suburban Commando. And of course, they opted to do Twins. Now, had they chosen Suburban Commando, the role of Julius and Vincent would have gone to Christopher Lloyd and Hulk Hogan, who obviously went on to do Suburban Commando. So, crazy to think about. But yeah, that was the one they chose. It's funny how decisions can change things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about diversifying your repertoire, and Hulk Hogan's a classic case of someone trying to move out of wrestling and move into comedies and failing very badly, might I add. I remember going to
What else has he done, Hulk Hogan? Was it Mr. Nanny?
I remember my dad taking me to the pictures to see Mr. Nanny many years ago.
I've got a feeling you loved it. Rocky 3, Thunderlips.
Rocky 3, yeah.
There you go. So he hasn't got a bad little catalogue behind him.
I don't know, perhaps Three Ninjas High Noon on Mega Mountain in the mid-90s could be a real low point for him.
Okay, JD, did you know that in the scene when they go to a hoedown or country and western bar and they dance on Julius's first date, the guitarist who's playing in the background is a very famous rock guitarist called Jeff Beck. And he's played with Eric Clapton. It's his own band called the Jeff Beck Group. And he's been on albums with has had Jeff Beck as a musician in on their albums. But he's only in it for about 20 seconds screen time. But he does do a good guitar solo in there at one point.
It's actually not a bad track. And obviously I've seen this film 100 times, so maybe it's just in my head. And I know it well, but it's a great scene, isn't it?
Yeah, the singer is called Nicolette Larson. I believe she's passed away now.
She has, yeah. But no, it's a great scene. And that's the bit where, of course, the Klein brothers obviously find them in the bar, don't they? And they learn of the second rule in the crisis situation. Is it the second rule at this point in the film? What is the second rule, J-Dog? You must be prepared to call your bluff. Or you must be prepared to have your bluff called.
That's it.
This is no bluff. Well, I was actually also going to say to you, of course, something you stolen from me at the start of the show, which is the original title for the film, which was The Experiment. And again, it's something I wasn't aware of. I mean, it's something that you would expect today in 2020 that you couldn't have called the film by a title called The Experiment with an Austrian or Germanic actor. But back in 1988, I'm a little surprised they never stuck with it.
Yeah, I mean, God, how many bad taste films were there in the 1980s, less politically correct times for sure. Same year as Big, actually, our last episode.
So Twins was ahead of its time when it came to the woke nature of its audiences. I mean, let's be honest though. What sane individual goes to see a film called The Experiment about babies that are born based on six fathers of super sperm and comes out thinking of anything other than the film? Who would equate that to obviously the 1940s?
I don't know, but when they're putting millions and millions of dollars into films, I guess these questions do arise.
It could be the difference between making 100 million and 105.
Yeah.
But every dollar counts, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Any other did you know before we move on, J-Dog?
Did you know, JD, that even though they're supposed to be playing twins, one of them is older than the other? And would you like to have a guess?
What, as in real life or in the film itself?
In real life.
In real life, I would say that DeVito... Oh, I don't know, actually. I'm going to go Schwarzenegger by a couple of years.
You're almost there, JD. Arnold Schwarzenegger's 3 years younger than Danny DeVito.
Ah.
If I'm being honest, I would have said there was a bit more of a gap than that.
I mean, maybe it's the receding hairline of Danny DeVito. His hairline starts on his neck, doesn't it? What I was going to ask you was, it's not exactly relating to the film itself, but the film was so popular and made a hell of a lot of money that there was talk of a sequel immediately, and it never materialised. But it's popped up subsequently about two or three times since. Are you aware of that, and are you aware of what it would be called?
The idea of a sequel is definitely up there in the legion of possible sequels, along with Bill and Ted, and also a new Ghostbusters film. But given the fact that both of those have happened, I know Bill and Ted's not out yet, you've always been quite right on the money when you've said this in the past, JD. So go on, maybe you could tell me a bit more about what you think.
Well, number one, I think I'm not one of these people that thinks that if you make a sequel and it doesn't work, therefore the original's no longer good. It's like you couldn't make a bad Ghostbusters movie now and it would ruin my love for the 1984 one. I've never thought that. Nothing can touch Ghostbusters 1984. And I know some people don't love Ghostbusters 2 as much, even Bill Murray. I personally think it's absolutely amazing. So I'm quite happy for them to do this new Ghostbusters film, and it can be good, bad, ugly. I don't care. I still love those films. And I think I've got the same logic with Twins. I don't think the idea of a sequel works. I don't know how they're going to shoehorn. Well, here's the story. The film is going to be called, or supposedly going to be called, Triplets. And it's going to star Eddie Murphy alongside Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it's a head scratcher straight away. The only way they could obviously do that is there's another father that you weren't aware of, or something along those lines. I don't know how they'd explain it, or maybe it was an adoption. I don't know. Either way, I don't see it. You know me, I don't watch any old junk. But Arnold Schwarzenegger, I know he's not the big draw that he was in the 80s. Danny DeVito is Danny DeVito. You know what you're going to get. And same with Eddie Murphy. He's kind of not the big deal that he was. But still, I'm a big fan of those three guys. And I'm a big fan of Twins. So if they hit up a sequel called Triplets and them three are in it, I'll be first in line. And what about yourself? How does it sound to you as a premise?
I quite like your rationale there, JD. As a premise, I mean, it's that big high concept, isn't it? It's a possibility. Would I go and see it? Yeah. However, Arnold Schwarzenegger has done an awful lot to trash my opinion of him in the past decade. I won't take it.
Wow, that's quite a damning statement.
Well, it is, because when you grow up with someone who's so consumes everything that you know, shapes so much about what you're interested in and what you like, you know, one of the most defining cultural icons of my youth and growing up. And then as I became of age, he went away because he became the governor of California. So he wasn't making films. When he came back to it, you know, it was just like, you could just see a downward trajectory and everything really. Even stuff like The Last Stand and Escape Plan, and you know, just give it a rest.
You know what though? Is that because Arnold Schwarzenegger is it because he's older, or is it because times have changed? No one likes the action movie anymore.
Certainly times have changed, and the whole 80s was defined by muscle, Reagan, power, telling people what to do, shooting them if they don't listen to you, all that sort of stuff. So that macho culture defined the times in the 1980s. So the times have definitely changed. However, I think one of the things alongside the cultural tastes of moviegoers, and actually, just to give my most recent proof of what I've just said, I would argue that the new Rambo film, which came out last year, which I haven't seen it, but by all accounts was a piece of trash. But it was a film where someone rampaged, killing lots and lots of people from a foreign country. You know, that's what the earlier Rambo films are about, not the first one. Rambo 2 and 3 were very nationalistic, macho, killing people, blowing people up, all that sort of stuff. When the most recent one came out, and it was very much in that style, the reviews I read said stuff like this is best left in the 80s. Even the guy who wrote the original book that First Blood was based on came out and trashed it. He said this was absolute garbage. But I guess Sylvester Stallone can afford to make those decisions. But one of the things with Arnold Schwarzenegger that baffles me, with a lot of celebrities, but certainly Arnie, is the desire to break down the barrier between film and audience. So I'm talking here about the use of social media, for example. Arnie's constantly putting out videos, and you know what, the latest one, he was feeding his donkeys or something like that. You know, all these little things might seem cute and nice and all the rest of it, and wow, look how connected to the audience the people are, when in actual fact it's all deliberately calculated by publicists most of the time anyway. But that aside, as soon as you start taking down and breaking down the barrier between the screen and the audience, I think you lose a lot of the movie magic. For me, the movie magic's gone. There was a time when celebrities were so remote. They were over there. They were somewhere else. They were in foreign countries earning lots of money. You only saw them when they were on screen. There was a mythos about them. If you wanted to know something about them, it was in a magazine. And again, they guarded the words. Everything was carefully kept. And if you didn't read that magazine, chances are you weren't going to see it. But now with the internet and with social media, everything's just exploded and it's too much. And I think the times are going to have to adapt and change to that. Maybe we'll get back to a point in time again where people do try and keep a bit more guarded celebrities and that. And so when you do see them, it is through their art. And then there's a bit more mystique about it. I don't know how you feel about that, JD.
I agree. I think the illusion has gone. And it's not just film stars, it's musicians. It's like, without trying to segue too much, I remember Lady Gaga was on the one of the talk shows in the UK, and she said the same. She said there are no icons anymore. Both, because if you think the likes of Michael Jackson, and they were more than just a musician, they were cultural icons. And Schwarzenegger himself was a cultural star. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just the action man. And as you say, if you start seeing every week the guy that was 15 years ago was only ever seen on the big screen or at best a poster, now you're seeing him taking the trash out and putting it in his bin. It doesn't work, does it? It does take that illusion. But maybe sticking to roles like Twins would have served Arnie better than trying to dip back into the Terminator franchise.
I agree, yeah. I think there was definitely a lull there. Last Action Hero was a turning point. When a genre starts to parody itself, then clearly that genre has now passed its sell-by date. And then after that, because that was 1993, in 1994, James Cameron did
True Lies.
True Lies. And of course, that was very much action film. But that marked, for me, a bit of an end of an era there with that. Because I do remember that time when those films were coming out. And I remember, you know, then it was a razor in 1996, and then it gets worse and worse as time goes on. Batman and Robin 1997, End of Days 1999 was supposed to be a bit of a darker term, wasn't it?
And then, I liked End of Days, actually. I liked it. It was different. You know, you could say all those films that he was doing in those years, it was the things that were a bit more risky that I thought he did best. Jingle All the Way was a bit of a fun break away from what he was typically doing. And of course, Batman and Robin, less said the better. But well, I know what you mean when you started talking about Erasure and all the films that followed of the similar ilk. They just never had what we'd always known Arnie to be in those roles as a great actor.
What was the twins. when he had the clone, The Sixth Day.
It's terrible.
And then there was another one called Collateral Damage. You know, trash.
They were. It's a damn shame. In fact, I'll tell you how much Arnie's declined. And this isn't a battering Arnie show. Let me make it crystal clear that I love Arnold Schwarzenegger like nobody else. From an action point of view, he's amazing. No one tops him for me, but I will still lambast the projects that he's doing now because this is a guy I held in such high regard, like yourself. I want to see him doing good stuff, but he just doesn't do it. And the End of Days was great. What was we about to say then? I had a film in mind I was going to mention.
Collateral Damage, End of Days, Eraser.
What I was going to say to you is the demise is so bad that there are about 6 or 7 Arnie films probably in the last 8, 9, 10 years that I've never even seen. Now, 10, 15 years ago, that would have almost been unheard of for me not to have seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. But there's films that he's done in recent years, which I'm aware of. I've just not had that hunger to see them. And it's a shame, really. I think if they were on telly and there was nothing on, I'd be quite happy to sit and watch them. I'd probably enjoy them. But his star's diminishing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, The Last Stand is barely watchable.
An aptly appropriate title.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Escape Plan, yeah. Garbage.
You know what? I feel bad. We're hammering on here. Chris, we love him, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as I said, the guy was my youth. But you get older and then you become a bit... Your critical faculties become a bit more nuanced.
Anyway, look. Let's get on to talking trivia because I know you like to test your knowledge. You are a quiz buff, as you like to proclaim yourself. You are the buff master. So, here is my question to you.
Q&A.
I may have mentioned this earlier in the episode, and apologies if I've given away. But how many fathers were actually involved in the so-called experiment to produce the super baby?
Well, I do believe. But there were 6.
You're right. Was that because I told you earlier in the episode, or do you recall?
No, I do recall 6 fathers. He goes to visit one of them at least.
How do you suppose that experiment worked?
Well, you see it at the start of the film. They've got a conical flask, and obviously...
They just dipped into the flask.
I don't know whether there was a turkey baster involved somewhere along the way.
Yeah, right. So go on, expand.
Expand on what?
Are you saying the less said about the experiment, the better?
I think there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain, and this is a time to refrain.
Can I ask you, this might sound a really stupid question, is it even possible to do something like this? Has it been, can it be done? Can you mix these things? And it can't be done, can it?
I don't know too much about it. However,
something to Google for you later. Your question, go on, fire away.
Okay, my question for you is that at one point in the film, Julius does something, and it's the very first time he's done it, and for the first time in his life, he's
mad.
No.
Is it angry?
He's pissed off.
Oh, pissed off. I get half a point, surely.
Oh, you can have half a point for that. Mad.
Oh, you can't not say a line without trying to do Arnie's voice, as pathetically as that was. Okay, who was born first, Julius or Vincent Benedict?
Julius.
You're right.
Does the science say you were born first and then later he came out? Something like that.
Yeah, something like the unexpected happened, another baby arrived.
Yeah, really cold, isn't he? Okay. When Arnold comes, or Julius, comes to Los Angeles, at one point he's looking in the window and a guy comes over and tries to rip him off. He's, for some reason, this skinny punk decides to pick on Arnold Schwarzenegger. But anyway, his wingman comes and tries to steal Julius's briefcase, suitcase, whatever he's got. And when he falls down on the ground, Arnold says something to him. Can you remember what the line is?
Was it something along the lines of, and I'll try and do it in my best Arnie impression, the pavement was his enemy.
That's the one. I did not think.
It's a brilliant scene. Isn't he checking out lingerie in the shop window? He's like, do women really wear these things?
Is he?
Yeah, I think so. And the guy's like, you betcha, you're lucky, pal. And then he starts telling this punk about how he comes from a tropical island.
Yeah. He says, you're not from around here, are you? He says, no, actually, I'm from a terrible accent. No, actually, I can't do it.
Nautical miles, South Pacific.
Southwest of Fiji.
Brilliant. I love it. It's a fantastic scene. Okay. When Julius arrives in California, he steps off a bus. He looks to the ground and he's overlooking the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Do you remember what star he looks down upon?
Oh, that's a good question.
It is a good question. I'm glad I found it for you.
Is it relevant to the film?
It's not, and I'm going to give you a big, big clue.
Okay.
It's not a person.
I don't know.
I'll give you another clue. Come Home.
Oh, Lassie.
It's Lassie.
Lassie, ah.
Yeah, it's a good one, that. You've got to be eagle-eyed to spot that one.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Well done.
Any others for me?
Must have had the Blu-ray release then, yeah? So you could actually see that.
The commentary.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, because of the clarity of DVD and Blu-ray, it's so easy to see that that's obviously not Arnold Schwarzenegger driving the car when it's up on two wheels.
Yeah, it's like it can't be as bad as great as Terminator 2 is.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. It's the bit when
he's on the motorcycle.
You're running off the motorbike.
Yeah. I mean, God, it looks more like Danny DeVito than Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's the one blight on an exceptional movie. Any other questions for twins? Okay, I'm gonna hit you with one.
Go on.
In that opening scene when he finally arrives in California, it's a great scene, by the way. It not much happens. He's just kind of familiarizing himself with the town, and there's that nice, cool music. I've always enjoyed that. But at one point, he stops in front of the famous Chinese theater, and there's a film being advertised on the front. Do you know what the film is?
Is it Rambo 2?
No, it's not. But I know why you're saying that. Because there's a point in the film when Arnie, obviously, Julius, should I say, steps in front of the poster and he starts to compare his own muscles, doesn't he?
Yeah, and you know, that, coming back to what we were saying before about that whole mystique of films, to actually see those two in a film together on screen, that's amazing, isn't it? You know, the similar sort of scene is in Last Action Hero when, in the alternate reality, Danny, the kid, goes into a Blockbusters and him and Arnie are stood there, or Jack Slater, and it's Stallone on the motorbike in the Terminator 2 poster. I mean, that blew my mind, seeing things like that. That was like a Ghostbusters, you should never cross the stream sort of thing. It's like a, you know.
Well said. 20, 25 years ago, the thought of it never even came up. To see Stallone and Schwarzenegger not acting the same film, but even just referenced, was, I'm with you. It blew my mind as well. I was like, could this be the game-changing moment where we see them both in the film? And of course, now it's like commonplace. You've got like 10 Expendable movies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, those two fellas are obviously friends in real life, but that rivalry back then was so big because they never appeared together. So it was...
It wasn't just Schwarzenegger and Stallone. You had maybe on a rung below, you had Van Damme and Steven Seagal. So it was a great time to be a fan of action movies, wasn't it?
Bruce Willis as well.
Yes, definitely. Any other questions before we move on?
Yes. How can bullshit walk? No, no, go on.
Let's move on to our favourite part of the movie.
Favourite scene.
Okay, JD. My favourite scene in the film. When Arnold's had his first date and they've had the dance and they go back to the hotel room, Vincent goes off, doesn't he? He says, I'm going back to see if Marnie... is Marnie, isn't it?
Or, I think Vincent's with Linda and Linda. Julius was with Marnie.
He treats her terribly. That's so bad. But he says, I'm
who
going...
does?
Vincent treats his girlfriend terribly, doesn't he? You know, he cheats on her and he takes money from her, begs her for money, you know, and then just...
That's right. There's that scene when the neighbour runs over to the car, doesn't she? He goes, never sleep with this man, never believe the word he tells you.
Yeah.
And good morning, Agnes.
I feel so sorry for her in that scene. But he says, I'm going back to the room, and then there's a knock on the door and Julius thinks that it's that Vincent just come back for something, and it's Marnie, isn't it? Kelly Preston, and they both have like a little romance scene, but it's so tastefully done, and you know there's obviously an attraction between them two, and it's just a nice scene. You know, they come together, and obviously Julius.
They have the music silent. In the background. I only have eyes for you.
That's it. Yeah. Very, very, no, nice. Very romantic. Very well done.
It is a nice scene, and that's the one where Arnie wants to sleep on the floor, doesn't he?
That's right. Yeah. Just the way they both handle it. They're both awkward and shy, and that, you know, it's nice. It's nice. That's a nice scene.
It's funny you just mentioned Danny DeVito being the kind of he's terrible to Linda, and obviously at the beginning of the movie he's obviously sleeping with a neighbour or someone, and he runs out of the house, doesn't he, before the husband comes home. It's funny, you never actually, I think, had that been made now, you would have not maybe had the same reaction as you would. Like, I don't watch Twins and think that Danny DeVito is a bad guy. Maybe that's just me and my naivety of being a young kid, but you're still rooting for him, aren't you, even though he's that immoral?
Yeah, and you know, it's a comedy, you can let people off with certain foibles characteristically, can't you? And you know that because you've already had the setup with Arnold, so you know that he's the contrast of him. So it's set up nicely. If the film started off with Danny DeVito being a slime bag and you knew nothing about Arnold Schwarzenegger, you'd think, I don't like this guy. I don't like this character. But you know, because you see him before, and you know there's going to be a playoff between the two of them.
And Vincent ultimately becomes a better person because of Julius.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
I was going to talk about the scene when they're on way to finding out about their experiment. Because obviously Vincent is hoping to sell the contraband. But Julius is obviously wanting another journey. He wants to go and find out who his mother was. And there's a scene when they stop off at the motel, isn't there? But just prior to that, they go out and get dressed up. I think they go and buy like a suit, don't they?
They do.
They're walking down the street and they've got the matching suits, and they swing the jackets over the shoulders and they put the shades on. And it's amusing because, of course, in reality, two middle-aged guys wearing the same suit would probably look ridiculous to me and you now, we've seen them.
Yeah, but one of the things about that scene, and there's another similar scene in the streets as well, there are people in the background looking at the camera crew.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
I've noticed it many times.
They're all looking and laughing, aren't they? It's strange. It's almost as if they didn't quite close the whole street down to film. Only a section of it, and then the people milling about in the background are just watching. It's
the way I've always tried odd. To think of that scene is, if I was in that street and I seen these two guys in matching suits, I would probably be looking and laughing as well. So that's the way I've always tried to sell it to myself.
In that scene, JD, sorry to interrupt, but unlike the poster, they have slightly different shades on in that scene itself. They're more like square shades.
Like Terminator shade?
Yeah. I've never ever seen ones like that before or since.
It's quite a prophetic scene, given that obviously Arnie wore the shades for Terminator 2, but also he's referred to as Mr. Ice. So Danny DeVito clearly seen something that no one else did 10 years prior.
Well, obviously, he knew that Arnold was going to be a baddie in a Batman film because he was one himself, wasn't he, the Penguin?
I was going to mention that. I mean, that is unusual. And let's have a little quick minute talking about that, because Danny DeVito, I mean, not a lot of people talk about Batman Returns, but I think it's brilliant. How about you?
Well, what Tim Burton did was he made a really dark film with the first Batman film. And then the second one took that dark edginess into an even weirder direction, I thought. You know, the whole sewage underground, that sort of thing. Chester Copperpot was his name.
That's right.
Was it? I don't know. I don't even know.
Wasn't that the guy? Well, no, hang on. Wasn't that the guy whose wallet he found in the Goonies?
Who am I thinking of then?
I think it is Copperpot. Copperpot. Yeah, but well, Oswald.
Yeah. Anyway.
Same here, mate. I'll let you get away.
Yeah, he's got all this sort of like gunge around his mouth and all that. And it's a bit overladen with baddies, Batman Returns. I think you've got the Penguin, you've got the Catwoman. Is it Max? I don't even want to try another name because I'll probably get that
Max
wrong.
Someone.
Max Schreck, something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Although I do remember having a fun and enjoyable Mega Drive game back in the early 90s.
Yeah, I had the Adventures of Batman and Robin on the Super Nintendo. It was a great game. But I think it's fair to say that Danny DeVito's venture into the Batman franchise was a lot more successful than Arnie's.
Definitely, yeah. So another one of my favourite scenes, JD, is the scene when they go into the shop when Arnold's ripped the shirt. So they have to go and buy one. And he buys this T-shirt. Can you remember what it says on the front of it?
Born to be bad.
Exactly, JD. I did look for that T-shirt.
Can I just apologise? That will be my last Arnold Schwarzenegger impression for the foreseeable future.
And I'm sure the audience will thank you gratefully. I did look a couple
of years ago. I'm trying my best. You appreciate it.
Yeah, I did look a couple of years ago for that T-shirt, like a baby with sunglasses on and a Mohican, but I've never found it. Maybe I'll have to have a look again.
You could probably print it yourself. You've got the facility to make. I'll get you that for your next birthday.
Oh, thank you, JB. I will hold you to that.
Please do. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about the legacy of the film.
Movie legacy.
I think it's fair to say that some of the films that we've discussed in previous episodes, Back to the Future, RoboCop, Big, a lot of people know and love them and they're revered and held up today. I think Twins is well known, but I also think it's kind of a forgotten film. It's like, if you say it, people know it, but people don't talk about it.
I think that's fair to say, actually, JD, yeah. It'd be a good question to ask people, which film do you prefer, Twins or Junior? And see just how many people actually remember which one, or either of them, or both, or whatever, do you know what I mean?
I'd probably like to think that if you are over 25, 30, I would say every single person would say Twins. I can't imagine anyone would pick Junior over it, which it was an okay film. You can watch it. The problem is it was always going to be compared to Twins, which is so superior. But yeah, I mean, it's just everyone I know that has seen Twins loves it. It's not a film that you'd ever hear people say they dislike, is it?
No, you're absolutely right there. I think one of the lasting legacies will be the idea that an action star can diversify into other genres without it hitting the career too much.
And it's the film that doesn't need any action at all. I mean, I know there's the final third when he obviously drops the chain on, what was his name? Webster's head?
Webster. Can you remember can you remember what Vincent says when the chains dropped on his head?
Oh, it's a pun, isn't it? I know you like your puns. I remember the third rule in the crisis situation was duck, wasn't it? Which is amusing because, of course, if he ducked, I'm sure he'd still have been hit by the chain.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The laws of physics dictate that, yes, he probably would have. No, he says...
What was the pun? Come on.
He says, now there's a guy with a lot on his mind.
Favourite part of the film then for you?
Of course.
But okay, then final thoughts. I know we've touched upon the legacy briefly. It's a film I think we both agree that people love and adore. don't speak of often. Maybe a sequel might actually refresh it in people's minds. People might want to go and see the film again. But final thoughts on Twins, J-Dag?
Just a great, fun, semi-serious, warm-hearted, really nice kind of film. Kind of film that you wouldn't get nowadays. Definitely suited to its time, similar to Big, similar to Beverly Hills Cop, similar to Lethal Weapon, Midnight Run. All of these films made around about the same year, actually, taking a semi-serious tone and straddling the boundary between that and comedy and gangsterism.
I enjoy it. 100%. And you said two words there, really nice. And it is. It's a really nice film. It's like you can enjoy it, you can relax, you don't have to think too hard, always cheers you up. It's just a film that you can watch over and over and over. And, you know, sometimes when you're kind of giving your final thoughts on these 80s films, I'm pretty sure we sound the same every episode. We just adore them, don't we? But Twins is a lighter film than a lot of the films we might be discussing. It may have some serious elements, like you say, but it's just, you can put it on at 2 o'clock in an afternoon and you just can kick back and smile. You don't have to invest too much brain power into enjoying it. It's just a flat-out feel-good film, isn't it?
I agree.
Okay, should we give it a mark out of 10? For its genre? Now, be careful here. I felt like you were about to say the first part of that number was at Beyond with an S, but I'm going to ask you to reconsider because think of it in its... What genre is Twins? Let's put it in a genre. Would you say it's a family film?
Does it tick enough of the boxes for it to be an 80s buddy cop film? If them two were police officers, it'd be a buddy cop film.
Well, it's a buddy film in to a certain extent. So, in as best as you can, and thinking of films of similar ilk, try and give it a mark out of 10. Don't compare it to something like Predator, of course.
Okay, without comparing it to other favourites from the 80s, comparing it to films of a similar ilk, I'd give it an 8.
I think that's a fair score. I mean, personally, I'd give it higher because I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I have to take my bias away. I'm happy with 8. 8's a good score. Although we have kind of agreed that I don't think we're going to give most films under an 8, are we? I'm sure we will once we start getting to the back end of the 80s classic catalogue.
Yeah, we wouldn't have chosen them otherwise, would we, so?
I suppose so. But without further ado, that wraps up episode 6 of our Circuits of Time podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Hope you've enjoyed it. And we'll be back next time with a new episode.
See you again.
See you next time, nerds.